You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review for this week. Now, I just want to give a little message to those that are new to listening to this podcast. This podcast obviously has no affiliation with the Joe Rogan Experience. All I'm doing, like how the news does, the news has no affiliation to the events that happen on the news. They just talk about it. It's like talking about things that happen in the world. I just happen to exclusively talk about episodes of Joe Rogan, and then I have guests on, and we just go over parts of it that we like, or whatever. And with the guests that come on, if they're fans of Rogan and really into his message and so on, they talk about kind of why they like listening to Rogan and what they get out of it and what kind of inspiration there is and how it changes, you know, in some ways the directions of people's lives. So it's just showing some respect to Joe. But anyway, that's what this does, all right? It's not affiliated. Today I've got a buddy of mine, a guest, and a big fan of Rogan is my buddy Garrett. How you doing, Garrett?
Very good, very good. What's up, guys?
Thanks for joining. And today we're talking about MMA 46, Ari Shafir. Now, I thought this was kind of funny when I saw this one because it's an MMA podcast. And Ari is a comedian, right? Though he's a great podcaster. He has his own really funny podcast. It's very entertaining. But who knows? They're good friends. Maybe he was just like, fuck it, I want to do an MMA one. And at the end of the day, they do whatever the fuck they want on that show.
It's just like them referencing funny fucking times they had, more or less, the shows and whatnot. Which was, it's almost more insightful and more like hands-on when you get to hear those moments, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly was a good podcast. It wasn't bad at all, and really funny as well. The first, of course, they got into Sober October. So, Ari, Joe, Bert Kreischer, and Tom Segura are doing their second year of Sober October. And it's a really good thing to do. I've done moderately Sober October, I'd like to say.
Yes and no. I mean, I pick my spots, but more no this month. Honestly, I'm just stoked to get on this side of town, to be honest. So it's like I've been fucking just pumped this past week. Even when I have time off, it's like last night I feel like I'm reeling back when I don't buy the full pint of vodka. And I'm like, all right, you're really reeling it back.
Maybe that's your Sober October. I'm getting half a pint of... That's more like Bert Kreischer's attempt at Sober October.
I mean, and I did it two nights ago, and then I was like, all right, and even we were just talking about fucking going out to eat. It's like, every time you go out to eat, no matter what, I had one drink and a meal last night in North Hollywood at, like you said, a little shitbox spot. It was fucking $30. You're not eating for fucking cheap.
It's not cheap. I think that's one of the other, hidden value points of doing Sober October is you save a lot of money.
A ton.
It should just be called Saving Money October. And it just, you happen to be sober. I think at the moment, Ari is in second place because they have, the competition that they're doing as well is, connected to these heart monitor things. I don't understand it. I wish I knew about it.
I feel like it's probably one of those Apple Watches or fucking...
Right, the Fitbit.
Which to me, and even Joe kind of exposed, I heard him talking about it. He's like, if you just want to fucking sit on the treadmill or sit on the elliptical, watch a movie like Ari's been doing, you can rack that motherfucker up.
Yeah.
So it's like, not that you need, I mean, that is still, I still consider that work. Don't get me wrong, but at the same time, it's like...
I think you can learn these programs so that you can maximize points and minimize effort.
Absolutely.
Because Joe was talking about running at 90%.
Right.
But it only counts the 80% mark or whatever that means.
Once you hit that, you
got to be careful. But still, Joe's working out 5 hours in a day.
Right.
He's 50 years old. That's badass. That is hardcore. Holy fuck.
I kind of thrive on his shit. The way he talks about it, it's like, he's like, I want to stick the knife in and churn it. It's like, I don't know why I have that mentality at the gym too, but I'm like, I want to work harder than everybody there.
It's yeah. Like, it's a good metric to go by because you can, I think it's not about working that hard as much as making sure you don't work like you do nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like a slippery slope. If you start half-assing things, you can quickly get to the point where you're doing nothing.
Which, and I think everything is mental. Like even today, I sat in the fucking cold bath for, I do two stents for 5 minutes and that thing's like 51 degrees.
That's pretty hardcore.
By like the minute four or minute five, my teeth are just about jittering.
And yeah.
Pop out.
Some of that's breathing too.
Yeah, oh, it's all like
wind and off. Yeah,
that's who I reference. Breathe through. That's funny you say that. That's who I reference my thought process exactly. Because the guy's like, "How you doing that?" Like standing next to me, fucking freezing balls, and I'm like, "It's all mental." It's
right.
Because at the end of the day, the majority, even working out, it's like people like you got your shit together. It's like, no, I just decided to do something that you didn't do today.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
It's really not this fucking like mind blowing thing. It's just like whether or not you choose to do it. Just like fucking comedy, just like fucking anything. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you fucking doing?
For sure. For sure. And something. And that's always one of Joe's messages. And I think with his friends, you know, why he does the Sober October is because I think he just wants them to come into his world a little bit of
right,
that.
Right.
You know? He probably scares them away.
He's good with the alcohol, intense. Though. I don't feel like he pushes the alcohol like, I don't want to say me or you, but me and you probably. You know what I mean? Like, he's not pushing the booze. Like, he's like, I have a couple drinks, smoke a joint, and I'm like, if I could just fucking chill and have more drinks. But it's like, not that, I don't know. I don't know if but I don't take it to like a dark place. Like, sure. I feel like a lot of people like jump on board and be like, it's got to be.
But also, who knows? Look, he's 50.
Right.
So maybe he's chilled. Yeah. Like maybe when he was our age, he drank quite a bit more. You know, maybe it's more of a phasing issue.
I mean, he's lived out here for fucking, 20 years?
Yeah, he's probably like, at 50, drinking like a bunch of alcohol probably sucks the next day.
I mean, I don't know how much it sucks for me. I guess probably fucking 15
can be
years.
Bad.
Yeah,
oh can my be God. Bad, yeah.
It's god awful. Like, I literally have woken up and been like, man, I cannot put a price tag on how good it feels to not be hungover.
Yeah, yeah. Because
when I've been drunk, I've been like, or like super hungover, it's like, I would literally pay $200 right now to not feel this feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe more. Probably, some of those hangovers are so bad.
Probably more.
That's probably one of the best things about the idea of a sober October. Totally. Maybe I'll do something in January.
That's the time to do it.
There's nothing going on.
That's the time I always did it in Arizona, which was even a rough one. But I would just be like, New Year's, not that it just kind of felt, because I was always fucking partying like an animal. And then New Year's hits and you rage out. And then I'm like, all right, clean it up. Take January off.
Yeah.
I've done that twice.
Well, in so many ways, if, for example, the same thing with them all working out for Sober October is like they need to build their bodies up for it because some of them, like Joe, can just go in and hit it like an athlete. Right. Sure, he's doing more than he usually does, but those guys don't do any.
Right.
So then they go straight into it.
They're
just going to be smashing themselves and they really need to like, they were talking, Ari and Joe were talking about how they need to kind of, Ari needs to work at his own rate, you know, like get into that kind of that level of working out,
like
and,
up to Joe's,
yeah, and stay to it. I mean, he's a clown, right? He's a clown. He was the guy that there's a famous video they were talking about. One time, Ari goes to the UFC, and they wait till the cameras on him. Two guys are fighting, and he kisses that what TJ like, Miller is the like comedian.
I thought it was fun. Dude, I mean, it's funny,
hilarious.
I can kiss some dudes, but I don't think I can. I mean, I do it for the moment, but right. I don't know if I can
tongue in.
I don't know if I can tongue.
Dude, that's so. But you know they're comedians, so they're probably one upping each other. Right. Like whoever did the tongue was like, "Fuck you, man! Got you. Ooh, you like getting some tongue?" Or like going up to him and being like, "Hey, you ever been tongued by a dude?"
That's true.
He just like you that fucking
would,
ruined.
That would take the one up to a new new level.
A great story that Ari was telling about when he was used to go to the UFCs back in the day. Is he used to give clues, I guess, on his social media, and he would like tape weed to like different places throughout the MGM, and people could go find it. And it's
that's,
like,
that's funny,
dude, he's funny as hell. He's such a fucking
ridiculous
person. I wonder
if he's actually doing that, or if he's got like a Liebling. He's like, go do this.
Yeah, well, people used to find him. Yeah, people used to go get that
No, but
weed.
I'm saying, is he actually taking the time? I like the idea. I'm just curious.
Oh, did he go do it?
Is he personally doing it, or do you think he's, like, got a guy that...
No, this was before he was famous. Okay. This is before people knew who he was, so he just found this funny. They were, like, the breath strip weed ones, and he just taped them to places and seats and poles. And...
I didn't even know they had that.
Yeah, I guess they do.
Or, like, seat through your
Well, see, Joe, they were saying Joe used to get companion flights, right? It was built into his UFC contract. So he could take one person with the same standard that Joe got. So Joe flew first class, and he would take someone with him.
Right.
So, like, when they all flew to Australia, Joe just took Ari with him.
Right.
And that ticket was, Dana White was like, this was like 25 grand for this fucking ticket.
He half said it happy and then half said it fucking serious.
Yeah, yeah. And Aaron was like, shit, fly me coach and give me 10 grand. Yeah, I'll take it.
What's the feeling like when you're fucking just dusting off 25 G's for just somebody you don't even know?
That's yeah.
A friend of a friend.
Well, for his company, I mean, he didn't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
And...
I didn't really think of
he said what was funny is he goes he loved those flights because they give you first class like right. You can like it's like a bed
like
they even give you some socks and he jerked off in the socks
or
that they give you in the
flight. That, or one of the other guys did that
that's so hilarious it was probably him and he's just passing
yeah,
it off
absolutely.
That's just so good they get into a conversation about John Jones which is really cool because and we were actually just talking about it before this podcast just obviously about how good Jones is and where his career's gone and the kind of damage that he's put on people but a really cool story was one time I guess Ari was hanging out met up with the John Jones at a UFC and they both wanted to get stoned so they call up Joe in his hotel room
right.
And they're like Ari didn't want to bother Joe, I guess, like, was a bit worried about it, but was like, hey, you up? Because this guy wants to come get stoned. Let's get high. He's like, right. Fuck it, come up. So they end up, and this is before John Jones was really anybody, but obviously Joe knew who he was. He comes up, and they get stoned together, and Joe is talking about how John should join a real fight camp. Because I guess during his first fights in the UFC, and I'd always heard when he started, it's only like 6 months. He'd only been training 6 months. And he was like training from YouTube videos and, you know, in his backyard and just punching a bag. And
so how do you go about that? Do you have to get people to sponsor you? You pay them to fucking...
Well, I think what happens is they saw how good he was and what his potential was. And then people start referring him. And he goes down then. And no, they would probably take a percentage of his fight wins to pay for the camp.
Gotcha.
Right? I think that's how it works.
But you can't just be a schmo off the street and be like, yo, I want to be an MMA fighter.
You could go into Greg Jackson's in Albuquerque and just pay $150 a month and spar, you know?
And then hope you get good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea. You train with good people and you get better, you know? You're going to get there eventually, but it's...
You're gonna get rocked.
Yeah, it's one of those... Yeah, you're gonna get fucked up for a while. You're going to get fucked up.
That's just like... I mean, and think about how many dudes are doing that. Like, I'm going to be a UFC fighter.
Well, but it's like anything that's hard. How many guys wanted to be football players? Everyone at some point gave it a shot.
Right.
And the nature of the beast, we're really good at weeding people out of shit.
I mean, I was fucking 4'11 until my senior year of high school. So it was like, I was always on the outside. Not that that's a... People have overcome everything, right?
But yeah.
Not that that's...
But still, unless it's a weight class related event, you're going to be fucked up against guys that are like 6'1", 210 in high school. Yeah, you're just like, what the fuck am I going to do with this guy?
Right.
You know, be a jockey.
Yeah. Oh, that's like, what do you do?
Of course,
I remember I was so upset after not making the basketball team freshman year, and I was like, my life's fucking over. Like,
everything's hard like that.
I'm not going to the NBA.
Yeah.
Life is over. And then fucking I read some article, Jordan didn't make it freshman year, and I was like, all right, I still got a chance.
That's some inspiring shit. But you know what? Those are the messages that are important. Just like Joe Rogan's podcast, we don't always want to hear that people just crushed it. We want to hear that they work fucking hard and often they failed. Yeah, they fall down and they're like, you know what? And some of them are lucky. Some of them are gifted, right? Joe is obviously lucky, but
he's grinding.
He's also said... Yeah, I am lucky, and maybe a lot of this good fortune is the energy that he needs to pick himself back up, but also just the act of doing it.
Right.
And the more shitty you feel when you pick yourself up, the stronger you're going to be.
100%.
Because that's what's hard. If it's easy to pick yourself back up, you're not getting tested.
No.
It's supposed to suck sometimes.
It's supposed to suck a lot of the time.
And it's all right.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like, if you accept the sucking, the fucking end game is so much nicer. Like, it's just so much more rewarding. That's,
yeah.
That's the name of the game.
100%. I mean, look.
You put in 2%, you get 2% reward back. You put a fucking 100% in, ideally you're getting 100% reward.
Yeah. Right? And it's the things that you do, right? So, like, look at Ari and Joe. They're both stand-up comedians. How many times do you think they've had to go on stage and completely suck, completely bomb,
right?
Feel terrible, go home almost in tears? They have probably done that 10 to 1.
100%.
You know, obviously now they're very famous, yeah, and
they don't deal with crushing it. Yeah.
Yeah, but they still get nights they bomb.
Yeah.
It still is going to happen.
Do they?
Probably not as brutally.
I guess.
Yeah, if they're working on new material or they're just not in the mood.
Right.
You know, their energy's kind of low. They just have the comedy store. I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, maybe bombing is harsh.
If they're traveling, I don't think that they're bombing.
No, if they're going.
Just because all the stand-up comedians I've seen in Arizona have always been, I don't want to say spot on, but. I mean,
I know what you mean. And well, that's the thing. When they're on tour, everyone that comes to see them is coming to see them.
Right.
Right? But when they're at the comedy store, you could have a lineup of 10, 15 people. Obviously, most people know Ari and Joe, so they give them some benefit of the doubt. But there are some awkward moments. I've seen Joe working on newer material, and when it's brand new, right after a special, it's still very good because he's so talented, right, and he's done it so long. But there's a difference between material that he's worked on for a year and something brand new. And he also, you can see how he tries different angles and some of it doesn't land. And he's like, all right, that's how you find out.
Right.
But you know, he moves on and
I mean, that's,
he's a fucking pro.
That's so critical to life in general.
Cause it's yeah.
Like, it's like, I heard him say something to like certain questions people ask them, like, what job should I be doing?
Right.
And it's like, but I think of that. Like, you think about other fucking people, and it's like, well, they figured it out. So, like,
they know.
That's just fucking. Like,
but I think the point that they were making with that is just that you have to choose your 100%, direction.
Without a doubt. Choose something.
Yeah.
It's like, we can sit here and say we want to be stand up comedians. If we're not coming home every single day training, writing, doing this shit, you don't really
want
it.
Well, someone else
and
is.
Somebody else is fucking, that's how yep. I feel. It's like, I can't say I want to do shit if I'm not really doing shit.
You yeah. know
what I mean? There's certain expectations that I hold myself to physically. It's like, I just need to get that energy pointing towards another direction and not separate, just fucking integrate.
Exactly,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
make the time for it
right,
and make sure you're doing it.
And how it's,
you know, not be afraid to say, okay, look, you know, when good fortune happens in your life, what are you going to choose to do? Are you going to choose to just make your life more relaxed? Like, okay, you win the lottery, right? The lottery was what, 1 billion or whatever recently? Yeah. So you win that. Well, then what?
Now what?
You just sit on a beach every day drinking margaritas?
Right.
4 days of that and you're an alcoholic.
Right.
Right? You just drink it all day. Like, it's like, why not choose to then make yourself incredible at something?
Right.
Because you have the money and the resources and the training. You know, you can pay for it. But the point of it is, it's never easy. You couldn't just buy your way into a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Right.
It's gonna hurt.
Right.
It's gonna be hard.
That's just being in
You're
shape.
Gonna
it's
wanna
being
quit.
In shape too. You know what I mean? Like,
it's all built in.
It's not anything that's easy is not worth having. I mean, if I got a free fucking $1,000 pair of jeans, I'm not going to fucking treat them as well as if I bought them.
Yep.
Just psychologically.
Well, this is why also they start talking about comedians that were once big but now not, like Mencia and Dane Cook. And the thing about them is that they took jokes. So that's, they stole them. They stole jokes.
Dane was taking them too.
Dane did a couple, took one of Louis's. Louis confronted about him, even on Louis's show. So they talked about it. And it was like a naming babies a bit, but it's very similar. Like, it's so clear that it happened. And
what happens if he just owns that? Does that save his career? If he's
Dane did. Dane came on the show and said straight up, yeah, I can see what you mean, but it wasn't intentional. But here's the problem. Once it's happened, it's happened. Like, it's so.
But even Joe talks about forgiveness.
Yeah, ostracize
it. I was gonna say, I could see if that happened once. Like, the way I understand with Mencia, he was just fucking robbing.
Yeah, Dane wasn't bad. Mencia was horrendous.
Right.
Mencia was horrendous, and he's gone. And it just speaks to it. It's like, you're taking the easy road. You're taking a road so easy that it hurts someone else.
Yeah.
Like, it's better to just not have a good joke.
Literally. Tough. Like, you're literally hurting someone else.
Yeah, it's like, really... It's a really fucked up thing, and that's why they jump on it. And, like, obviously...
Good. It's good, the accountability, though. It's good that that shit doesn't get brushed under, but...
You know, they need martyrs, because nobody would say anything. Nobody could, and Joe called him out, and Joe got banned from the Comedy Store for, like, 5 years. He had to be like, that's brave bullshit. As hell. It was so fucked, man. But now, look.
Yeah.
Joe, they have a banner on the side of the Comedy Store right now for his new Netflix special. I don't think they've ever done that for anyone ever.
Right.
Well, it's like, finally, you know, he stuck to his morals. He didn't get angry.
Right.
He didn't get shitty. He just said, okay, fine, and left.
He talks about doing, which is, I think, that's what makes it the easiest way to fucking support. And I don't know. Just he looks at everything from such a fucking conscious, literal spot. There's no, like, I have an angle before I hear an issue.
Yeah, there doesn't sound like a lot of indecision with Joe, ever. Like, his core values really set his decisions, and he sticks to them. And this is what this brings up the next big thing that they spoke about, and how we're going to finish out this podcast. But the whole Alex Jones issue.
Fuck.
The guy's a lunatic, right? No doubt. But he is a pretty funny guy.
Oh, this
in
is
the
this,
sense
this,
of just
this,
like
this,
how much of a lunatic
this
he
is. The guy
is
the propaganda.
Yeah, the InfoWars conspiracy theory dude.
About the
Sandy Hook stuff. So basically now Twitter, YouTube, a lot of the big social media platforms, information platforms have banned him. They've deplatformed him. They've taken him off. And Joe and Ari were talking, and they were saying, so what is this? You know, should these things get to decide if we shut someone up, right? And what are they? Because how long will it be before someone says, we don't like what Joe's saying,
right?
And they take his podcast off? You know, obviously something is popular.
About the UFC. He's like, there's no way I would be doing what I do for the UFC if I had this podcast, if ever you said that.
Right.
It's like so true. It's like such a weird fucking Twilight Zone.
Yeah, he's just geniused himself into this like trifecta of important things.
He gets to be, that's what he's always said, that's how I relate to
everybody. But people could stifle him if they don't get a hold of what is allowed and what is banned. And it's an interesting bit of conversation because, you know, I mean, I'm doing this podcast now. What should I be allowed to say or not? The point of me doing it is to say whatever I want that is interesting, that I like, and hopefully other people do too. So
absolutely.
Hopefully you guys do. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's it. When do we ban people? When do we not? And Ari brought up a great point, and he's saying if nobody's getting hurt, then we shouldn't be banning anyone, right?
I mean, the Louis, it's all perception. We've always talked about that. It's like just different people hold different things. But whenever it comes to the comedians and people that are on a platform, you have this idea that they have something figured out, and it's like, oh no, they're fucking humans too.
Yeah.
Like,
they're doing their best.
And it's like, and I like the way he like allocated what Roseanne said, because fucking she's nut anyway.
Yeah.
But at that time, it's like, dude, she was fucking 2 a.m. on Ambien.
Yeah.
Like, get out of town.
And she was nut anyway.
You know what I've said on a Friday fucking night after a bottle of Tito's? Like, get out of my face. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's just because you're on a platform. And I get it. It's like,
you got to be a little careful. Right. But also, like you were saying earlier, where do we forgive? How do we? There's
absolutely
always a thing for that. And after that, just to finish on a high point, and I know Garrett's going to appreciate this, they talked about Canada legalizing weed. How fucking awesome is that? And I think that it was within like half an hour of that happening that somebody was arrested in their car for being too high, obviously. No, well, there's always the dumbass, right?
My boy just texted me. He's like, buy these stocks today.
Yeah, weed stocks?
Yeah.
They exist?
Oh, my God.
I'm getting involved.
I just bought TD Ameritrade. Fucking, he's like, your money. He's like, he literally just sent me it. I have it.
That's a real thing? All right, people, buy weed stocks. Think about it. Thanks for listening today.
Thank you.
We'll be back for more. And cheers, Garrett. I appreciate it, brother.
Peace and love.